Let's pray before I read the passage and then speak on it. Let's pray. Lord God, open our eyes as we look at this passage that we may see wonderful things in your word. Open our hearts that we might be ready to hear what you have to say to us. Show us the glory of the Lord Jesus and the salvation which he has won for us. Help us to live for your purposes and for your glory. Amen. Well, the reading is from chapter 19 of the book of Exodus. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." And then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Make them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, 'Be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain.'" After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. And then he said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. And then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, 'Go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them.' Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us. Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy.' The Lord replied, 'Go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priests and the people must not force their way through to come to the Lord, or he will break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, some years ago, I was gardening and I wanted to light a bonfire. The wood was rather damp, and so I put what I thought was a very small amount of petrol on it. I then stood at what I thought was a safe distance away, thinking I would light a match and throw it onto the fire. And as I struck the match, it ignited the petrol vapour, and I was hit by a ball of fire. My eyebrows and hair were singed, as was my arm, and feeling very foolish and sore, I had to go to A&E. You and I don't need that story to tell us that we cannot go close to a burning hot fire. Well, in our passage today, the Israelites arrive at Mount Sinai, and we see that they cannot get close to God. They could not approach him. The scene is both glorious and terrifying. There's thunder and lightning and thick cloud. The people are trembling. In verse 18, we read of smoke billowing from the mountain like smoke from a furnace. The mountain shakes like an earthquake. And the people are warned in verse 20 not to try and see God, otherwise they'll die. Picture for a moment God as a large bonfire. The flames give off a dazzling light and go up into the air. Think of those flames as God's holiness. And imagine taking two things to that bonfire. First, imagine taking a piece of paper to the fire. What will happen to the paper when it gets close? It will burn up. But now imagine taking a flame to the fire. What will happen when the flame reaches the bonfire? Well, it won't be destroyed, but it will join the bonfire as a flame. We're like the paper, and God is like the bonfire. We're not holy. Our lives are messy and sinful. God is utterly holy, set apart and perfectly good and morally pure. He cannot compromise who he is. And so he tells Moses to warn the people not to come close, otherwise they will be destroyed. Our problem is that we're like paper, and God is like a hot bonfire. And without something drastic happening, the two can never coexist together. And yet we see from our passage that God not only wants us to coexist, but he wants a relationship with us. And that brings me to my first heading, a people rescued for relationship. The Israelites were rescued for a relationship. Right back in chapter 3, while the Israelites were suffering as slaves in Egypt, God promised Moses on Mount Sinai that he would rescue the Israelites from Egypt to worship him on the same mountain. And in fulfillment of that promise, they were now there. And when they get there, Moses goes up the mountain and God speaks to him. Moses doesn't come face to face with God. He couldn't do that and survive. But whilst he was on the mountain, God told him to remind the Israelites he had rescued them from Egypt. Look at verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Notice the way this holy and awesome God describes how he rescued the Israelites. He compares himself to an eagle. This holy God rescues his people with the tenderness of a parent eagle carrying its chicks. Now, many of you will have read or watched Harry Potter and will remember that moment when Harry is carried on the back of a hippogriff. Well, God carried his people not just like the hippogriff carried Harry, but like an eagle carrying its young. But just like the hippogriff is not to be messed with, an eagle is a powerful bird and not to be messed with. God used eagle-like power to rescue the Israelites from their cruel slave masters in Egypt. And the Israelites contributed nothing to their rescue. It was all God. And he reminds the Israelites of what he has done for them because he wants them to know who he is and what he's like. His power, his commitment to them, his love, his faithfulness, his goodness, and also his grace. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the God of the Old Testament is not a God of grace. Do you need to be reminded of these things right now? Of who God is and what he has done? That he's rescued you from a life of sin and death, and that he's carried you on eagle's wings. Well, God didn't just get the Israelites out of Egypt and lead them to get on with it. He rescued them, and as it says in verse 4, he brought them to himself. Our holy God brought the Israelites to himself for a relationship. The 2016 film Lion is based on a true story of a boy about 3 years old who in tragic circumstances ended up in an orphanage in India. He was brought over to Australia by an Australian couple so that they could adopt him. They brought him over from India to themselves for a relationship. And our holy God brought the Israelites out of Egypt to himself for a family relationship, a personal and intimate relationship. And so we reach a critical point. God wants a relationship with the Israelites. And the question is, what will that relationship be? What will it look like? What will it involve going forward? God invites the Israelites to respond to him. Look at what he says in verse 5. He says, "And now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." Having first chosen them as his people and having rescued them from Egypt, having brought them to himself, only then does God invite them to obey him. If Israel obeyed, then she would be God's treasured possession, which we will think more about next week. But for now, two things about obedience. The first is that obedience has come in our time to be regarded as something negative. We're encouraged to follow our feelings, to our beliefs, our hearts. We're encouraged to be guided by what's in us, by what we feel and what we think, and not to be limited by what's outside us. Obedience tends to be associated with losing freedom, with oppression. But in the Bible, obedience is something quite different. It's something positive. Obedience is an expression of love. God is inviting the Israelites to love him and to express that love in obedience. The commandments God is about to give the Israelites are not arbitrary and oppressive. They're in fact good for them. And so as we obey God's words, as we obey his commandments, we're not only expressing our love for God, but we are doing something which is good for us and for the people around us. And the second thing to say about obedience is this. The Israelites couldn't do it. We will see them breach God's covenant in a few chapters' time. But although they didn't deserve it, God continued their special relationship because of his grace. The only reason Christians have a special relationship with God now is because Jesus paid the price for our disobedience. Whilst we're not saved by obedience, if we have faith in Jesus, we will love. If we love him, then we will express our faith and love by obedience. In chapter 14 of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands." Our lives should be characterized by love expressed in obedience. And so the question is your love for Jesus expressed in obedience? Are there things you're doing which deep down you know are wrong and contrary to God's will? Well, the Israelites were rescued for relationship and were to express their love for God by obedience, but they were also a people rescued for holiness. At the beginning of each Christianity Explored course, we ask people this question. If you could ask God one question and you knew it would be answered, what would it be? And on a recent course, one man said that he would ask God, "What's my purpose?" It's a good question, isn't it? What's my purpose? Well, the purpose of the Israelites' obedience, the purpose of God's covenant with them, was to be their holiness. Look at verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "Now if you obey me fully, keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." The Israelites were to obey God's commandments, his laws, his word, so that they would not just be holy individuals, but a holy nation. So what does it mean for us to be holy? Well, we have already seen that God is holy. Remember the bonfire. He is set apart. He's different. He's utterly good and he's morally pure. So to be holy means to be distinct and to reflect what God is like. It's to have the image of God restored in us as we were created to have it. And that's where God's laws come in, because they showed Israel how to be holy. The laws reflect God's holy character. And if the Israelites obeyed those laws, then they would be holy. Think back again to our paper and the bonfire. The laws were to make the Israelites more like a flame than a piece of paper. And as with obedience, the Israelites couldn't do it. They failed to obey, and they weren't holy. In fact, much of their history was about how they sought to be like the pagan nations around them rather than set apart and distinct from them. Again, it's only because of Jesus that we can become holy. After dying for our sins and rising from the dead, he sent the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer. We are saved from our sin by what Jesus has done for us. We grow in holiness as we work together with the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus. Israel was rescued for a relationship. She was rescued to be holy, and both were for a purpose, and that was to make God known. A people rescued to make God known, then. Let's look at that. In verses 5 and 6, God said that if Israel obeyed him fully, she would be his treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, Will will be speaking on Israel as a treasured possession next week, but let's look at Israel's special purpose as a kingdom of priests. A priest was someone who represented God to the people and the people to God. It's like a student rep who represents students' view to teachers, but also in some ways represents teachers' views to students. Israel was supposed to represent God to the world. They were supposed to follow God's laws so that the nations around would see that they were different and would see that God, what God was like. God's purpose was to make himself known to the world through the Israelites. But more than that, his purpose was to bring the world into relationship with him through the people of Israel. God chose Israel to make himself known to the world. Now, we are not the Israelites, and nor are we under the same covenant. But under the new covenant, the church is God's chosen people, and it is our role to be representing God to the world and living holy lives so that we show the people around us what God is like. The Apostle Peter uses exactly the same words in the New Testament as appear in Exodus 19. He says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Well, let's return to that question from Christianity Explored. What's my purpose? Well, the answer is to glorify God. But one of the ways we do that is to live holy lives which show the world what God is like. And I guess, again, the question for us is that true of our lives? Are there priorities we need to review so that that becomes our purpose? Simon was a successful lawyer in the city. He would sneer at Christians, although he did have Christian friends. He described to me that his life was not a pretty picture. He drank heavily and had a number of relationships. He thought he had everything he could possibly want: money, a career, and a girlfriend. But he had a sense something was missing. And in his solicitor's firm, there was a girl called Amy who was different. She was a Christian, and Simon was struck by how she lived her life. Well, as time went on, they had conversations, and Amy gave Simon a Bible, and I have no doubt she was praying for him. And to cut a long story short, in the end, Simon did Christianity Explored, and he made a commitment to Jesus, and that transformed his life. In fact, we both ended up at theological college together. But Amy was working in that firm, in that solicitor's firm. She was living a holy life. It wasn't perfect, but it was obedient. It was holy. It was different. It reflected something of who God was. She was acting, if you like, as a priest. She represented God to Simon, and she prayed for him. Well, we are rescued for a relationship, we're rescued for holiness, we're rescued to make God known, and finally, we are rescued by a mediator. I wonder whether you noticed how often Moses went up and down Mount Sinai. The Israelites couldn't approach God because he was holy, but by God's grace, he appointed Moses as a mediator between him and the Israelites. God spoke to Moses, and then Moses would go and tell the Israelites what God had said. And the Israelites then spoke to Moses, and he took their answer back to God. Moses shuttled between God and the Israelites. And in the second half of our passage, we see an awesome scene at Mount Sinai, a preparation for God giving the Israelites the law. But we know, though, that ultimately the Israelites couldn't keep the law. It merely condemned them. And although he had been appointed a mediator, Moses couldn't save the Israelites from their failure to keep the law. But it is completely different for us. We look to Jesus, who came as the perfect mediator, keeping the law which we're unable to keep, dying to pay the penalty which is due for our failure to keep the law, sending his Spirit to unite us to him, and sending the Holy Spirit to make us holy. And it's because of our mediator Jesus that we don't need to worry about approaching God on the mountain like Sinai. The author of Hebrews tells us that instead we come to God on a different mountain,
Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion was the place in the Old Testament where the temple stood, the place where people could meet God without being burnt alive. Mount Zion was fulfilled in Jesus, who is the place we can meet God safely. And Jesus is now present by his Holy Spirit in the church, in gatherings of God's people, such as happens here at St. Mary's. Meetings of God's people in the local church are an anticipation of the Mount Zion which is to come, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new creation, the glorious future which God, our glorious future with God, which our mediator Jesus has made possible for us. We're rescued by a holy God for relationship with him. We're rescued for holiness. We're rescued to make God known, rescued by our mediator Jesus for a glorious future on Mount Zion. Let's pray. Holy God, loving Father, we thank you that you have rescued us from sin and death through your beloved Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. We pray that we would be obedient and grow in holiness, that your image might be restored in us, so that we might make you known and bring glory to your precious name. May we delight in meeting as your people and look forward to an eternity with you on Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen.